Our dear Heavenly Father,
nuestro Padre Celestial,
we are so thankful that we have the access to pray to Thee.
Estamos agradecidos que podemos orarte a Ti.
We are thankful, dear God of Heaven, that though the world may be in upheaval, there is still a God in Heaven that's in control.
Que aunque el mundo esté en revolución, sabemos que hay un Dios en el cielo que está en control.
And Father in Heaven, it is my desire, it is my prayer throughout this week,
Dios es mi deseo y mi oración en esta semana,
that the things that we learn from Bible prophecy,
que las cosas que aprendamos en la profecía,
would not just be things that would interest our minds,
no sean cosas que entren y salgan de nuestros oídos,
but that these things would transform our hearts.
Pero que transformen nuestras vidas.
Please forgive us of our sins.
Por favor, perdona nuestros pecados.
We pray for Christ to come and live and abide in our hearts and lives.
Pedimos que Cristo venga y more en nuestros corazones y nuestras vidas.
And I consent, Lord, that you would empty me of self.
Y oro para que me vacíes de mí mismo.
And pray that you would fill me as well as your people with the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Fill this place with holy angels.
Llena este lugar de tus santos ángeles.
And open up our minds to understand the Word of God tonight.
Y abre nuestras mentes para entender tu palabra en esta noche.
And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Te damos gracias en Cristo Jesús.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have quite a lot of information and material to cover tonight as well as throughout the week.
Tenemos mucho material para cubrir hoy en esta noche y a través de la semana.
And so with Brother Garcia translating for me, I'm going to do my best to try to move through the material as fast as I can.
Con la ayuda de mi persona, vamos a tratar de abarcar lo más que podamos.
And I'm going to try to highlight the most important points of these lectures.
Y voy a tratar de enfatizar los puntos más importantes.
And the reason why is because in a lecture, if I preach for an hour, if it's translated, it actually stretches to 2 hours.
La razón es porque cuando se traduce, usualmente se extiende más del tiempo que se utiliza.
So I'm going to try to be able to give you the most vital points of what I would like to be able to bring out this evening.
Por eso voy a dar los puntos más vitales.
Tonight we're going to be looking at a famous Bible prophecy from the book of Daniel.
En esta noche vamos a ver una profecía especial en el libro de Daniel.
One that I believe that most people in this room are already familiar with.
La cual muchos de aquí ya están familiarizados.
Some others are not, and that's why we're going to be dealing with this in more detail tonight.
Y algunos no lo están, y por eso vamos a enfatizar esto en esta noche.
This is the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, the kingdoms of Bible prophecy.
La profecía de Daniel 2, los reinos de la tierra en la profecía.
The books of Daniel and Revelation go together like a hand and glove. They go together like identical twins.
El libro de Daniel y Apocalipsis van mano a mano, uno explica al otro.
And you really cannot understand one book without the other one helping to explain it.
Y no puedes entender un libro sin el otro entenderlo también.
You see the same symbols employed in both books.
Ves los mismos símbolos que se emplean en ambos libros.
And so throughout this week we're going to be looking at the books of Daniel and Revelation together.
A través de la semana vamos a ver estos dos libros juntos.
Why is the book of Daniel so important?
¿Por qué es tan importante?
I want to notice a few things about this book right here. This is coming from Strong's Concordance, and I'll read this in English, and I'm not sure if you want to translate in Spanish or not, but I'll go ahead and read this right now, okay? Coming from James Strong, it says, Daniel, the fourth of the greater prophets, taken as a hostage in the first deportation to Babylon, and because of the gift of God of the interpretation of dreams, he became the second in command of the Babylonian Empire and lasted through the end of the Babylonian Empire and into the Persian Empire. I want you to notice what it says right here. It says from James Strong, his prophecies, Daniel's prophecies, are the key to the understanding of end time events. And I'd like you to translate that sentence, please.
Esto viene de la concordancia de Strong y lo que está subrayado dice las profecías de Daniel son la clave para entender los tiempos, los eventos finales.
So Daniel's prophecies are the key to the understanding of end time events. I want to notice something else regarding this. Here's a map of the ancient world the Babylonian Empire.
Este es el mapa del mundo antiguo del tiempo de Babilonia.
Over here in the Mediterranean Sea, you have Jerusalem.
En el mar Mediterráneo está Jerusalén.
And then over there on the Euphrates River, you have the kingdom of Babylon.
Y en el río Éufrates está Babilonia.
In between, you have the great desert of the Arabian Peninsula.
Y en medio está el desierto de Arabia.
And in the year 605, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and besieged and attacked the kingdom of Jerusalem.
Y en el año 605, el rey Nabucodonosor atacó a Jerusalén.
Uriah Smith says in Daniel and Revelation, page 19, the overthrow of Jerusalem recorded here was predicted by Jeremiah and was accomplished in 606 BC. He puts the date right there. Contemporary scholars, you let me know what you'd like to translate, and I'll slow down. The footnote in this book says this: the date 606 BC is widely supported by Usher Hills and other chronologists, but more recent research by archaeologists favors the date of 605. This apparently more accurate date, however, in no way affects the calculation of prophetic periods presented by the author, for it should be remembered that the Jews and other ancients counted both the first and last years of a period. So Babylon attacks Jerusalem in the year 605 BC.
Lo que está dando a entender es de que el año 605 es el día o el tiempo donde Babilonia atacó a Jerusalén.
Daniel was a resident. He lived in the city of Jerusalem during this attack.
Daniel vivía en ese tiempo en Jerusalén cuando fue atacada.
And he was taken as a prisoner to the kingdom of Babylon, where he served in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar.
Y fue llevado cautivo al palacio, al reino de Babilonia.
Now, what's interesting about this name Daniel is that in the Bible, the names are significant. Names mean something in Scripture.
Lo importante del nombre de Daniel es que en la Biblia los nombres tienen una importancia muy, tienen algo muy importante que nos enseñan.
Oftentimes parents would choose names that represented God's character or characteristics that they desired to have developed in their children.
Representan usualmente el carácter o las características que sus papás quisieran en sus hijos en la Biblia.
Daniel's a contraction of two words, Dan and then El.
Está compuesto de dos palabras, Dan y El.
Dan means judgment, or he that judges.
Dan significa el que juzga.
And El is a name for God, or the Almighty One.
Y El significa Dios, o el Dios Todopoderoso.
So if you put them together, Daniel literally means God is my judge, or the judgments of God. Okay, that's what it means.
Lo que significa es los juicios de Dios.
And if you'd like to know more about what a Bible book is talking about, look at the prophet's name, and it signifies what he's going to be prophesying about.
Si quieres saber lo que cada libro significa en la Biblia, nada más lee el nombre y encuentra el significado, y eso es lo que habla.
So in the book of Daniel, we have here, end time events will be revealed.
El tiempo del fin en el libro de Daniel son lo que es revelado.
And the judgments of God.
Y los juicios de Dios.
Does everyone understand that so far? Okay, now let's continue on now, because now we come to the actual dream itself in Daniel chapter 2.
Llegamos al sueño de Daniel en el capítulo 2.
Now for time's sake, what I'm going to ask is as I read in English, that you would read in your Bibles, whether in English or Spanish, and that way we can just go through the book of Daniel chapter 2.
Les voy a pedir que cuando yo lea en inglés, ustedes también lo lean en español o en inglés de donde empieza para que no perdamos mucho tiempo.
Daniel chapter 2, let's go there now. Daniel, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1.
En el versículo 1.
And the Bible now says this. Are we all there, friends, together? Amen.
¿Están ahí? Daniel 1.
Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says this. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. We're now in verse 3.
Estamos en el versículo 3.
And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. And then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But If ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Now, when you continue reading through this chapter,
cuando leen, continúan leyendo el capítulo,
it becomes very clear that Nebuchadnezzar could no longer even remember what dream he had had.
Es evidente que el rey no se acordaba del sueño.
And God was setting up a situation to reveal himself as the true God to this pagan king.
Y Dios estaba enseñando, se estaba revelando en este momento a este rey pagano.
Nebuchadnezzar was forced to consult with his magicians and astrologers and all of these people that worship idols and demons.
Y estaba revelando a este rey que de los que adoraban a imágenes y demonios y todo tipo de cosas.
And all of these people could not come up with the dream, and of course they could not also come up with the interpretation.
Y obviamente los magos y los que llamaron no pudieron.
A death decree is then passed by the king to destroy all the wise men.
Hubo un mandato, un decreto que mataron a todos los sabios.
And because Daniel and also his three friends were considered to be wise men, they were about to be killed as well.
Y porque Daniel y sus tres amigos eran parte de los sabios, iban también a ser muertos.
Now we're going to drop down to the part where Daniel is given the dream and he's also given the interpretation of the dream.
Vamos a ir a la parte donde a Daniel se le da el sueño y la interpretación, a empezar a leer ahí.
Let's pick it up now here in verse 14.
En el versículo 14.
Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And so Daniel is given the dream as well as the interpretation by God. Now we want to continue moving on quickly.
¿Quieren que sigamos continuando rápido?
So here we come down, and Daniel is now brought before the king. We want to get into the vision itself.
Queremos entrar en la visión misma.
He's given the dream, and he now comes to the king, and we're now picking it up in verse 26.
En el versículo 26.
The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God where? In heaven, that revealeth secrets, and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the what? The latter days.
¿En qué días? Los finales.
In verse 28. Now notice, so this dream we're told is going to stretch all the way until where? The latter days.
Se van a extender estos días hasta los días finales.
So let me ask you a question.
Déjenme hacerles una pregunta.
If God tells us that this vision is going to stretch to the last days,
si Dios hace la pregunta que esto o enseña que van a extenderse al final del tiempo,
should we expect to see our day and time in this vision?
Sabemos,
yes or no?
Que esto abarca nuestro tiempo, sí o no?
Yes.
Sí.
Now the reason why I'm making that clear is because of this.
La razón que lo hago claro es por esta.
Many evangelists that have taught this prophecy for years,
muchos evangelistas que han enseñado esta profecía por años,
have traced down this prophecy from the head of gold all the way down to the 10 toes.
Han hablado de la estatua hasta el tiempo de los dedos,
and have interpreted it as ending when the Roman Empire collapsed.
Y lo han interpretado hasta el tiempo donde el Imperio Romano fue colapsado.
Hundreds of years ago.
Muchos siglos atrás.
But we recognize that if the Bible says it goes to the last days, then we should see our day and time in that vision. Amen.
Pero si la Biblia dice que esos días se van a extender hasta el fin del tiempo, nosotros tenemos que estar ahí también.
Let's go into the vision itself.
Vamos a la visión.
The Bible says now, beginning with verse 29.
Versículo 29.
As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living. But for their sake shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great what?
Image.
A great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of what?
Brass.
Of brass. His legs of iron. His feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. And then was the iron, the clay. We're in verse 35, by the way.
35.
Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. All right, let's look at this dream.
Vamos a ver el sueño.
Nebuchadnezzar is going to sleep.
Nabucodonosor se duerme.
Daniel tells him that when he was sleeping, or before, as he was about to go to sleep, a thought came into his mind.
Daniel le dice que antes que se fuera a dormir, un pensamiento estaba en su mente.
The thought was, what should come to pass hereafter? In other words,
en otras palabras,
Nebuchadnezzar was wondering if his kingdom would last forever. What would come after him?
Su pensamiento estaba, ¿qué es lo que iba a venir después de su reino?
And in answer to this man's question, the Lord gave him this dream of a great image.
Y en respuesta a su pensamiento, Dios le dio este sueño, esta imagen.
God was speaking to him in language that he could understand.
Dios le dio este sueño una lengua, una forma para que lo entendiera.
Did Nebuchadnezzar worship idols?
¿Acaso Nabucodonosor adoraba imágenes?
Yes. So God spoke to him in language he could understand.
Dios le dio un sueño para que lo entendiera de esa forma.
What's interesting about this is that while he worshipped pagan gods, Daniel worshipped the true God through the ancient sanctuary service.
Lo interesante es de que el rey adoraba a imágenes, pero Daniel adoraba a Dios verdadero a través del santuario de Dios.
And so later on in Daniel chapter 8, God communicates to Daniel through sanctuary symbolism.
En el capítulo 8 de Daniel, Dios le da la interpretación a través del santuario a Daniel.
And we'll talk about that later on this week, about Daniel chapter 8. But let's continue on.
Vamos a continuar.
In this vision, the image has a head of gold.
En esta visión, la imagen tiene una cabeza de oro.
Chest and arms of silver.
El pecho y los brazos de plata.
Belly and thighs of brass.
El vientre y las piernas de bronce.
Legs of iron.
Piernas de hierro.
But then he has feet with 10 toes, and they're made of iron and clay.
Y tiene los pies de barro y de hierro.
And it's in this time period, in the feet and toes of iron and clay, that a stone comes and breaks that image.
Y es en el tiempo de los pies donde está el barro y el hierro juntos cuando viene la roca y destruye a la imagen.
So let's begin to interpret it quickly.
Vamos a interpretarlo rápidamente.
Beginning in verse 36.
Versículo 36.
We don't have to guess.
No tenemos que adivinar.
The word of God tells us the interpretation.
La palabra de Dios nos dice la interpretación.
And by the way, for those of you who do not understand this principle,
para aquellos que no entienden este principio,
anytime you're studying the Word of God,
cada vez que estudian la palabra,
and you're wondering about how, the interpretation of a thing,
y quieren saber la interpretación de lo que estás leyendo,
you have to allow the Bible to interpret itself.
Tienes que dejar que la Biblia se interprete sola.
Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 36, the Bible says this. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. We're in verse 37.
36. Versículo 36.
Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So who's the head of gold?
¿Quién es la cabeza de oro?
Who is Daniel talking to right here?
¿A quién está hablando Daniel?
To King Nebuchadnezzar.
Al rey Nabucodonosor.
Now let me ask you a question.
Una pregunta.
What do you need in order to be a king?
¿Qué necesitas para ser un rey?
You need a kingdom.
Un reino.
Can you be a king without a kingdom?
¿Puede ser un rey sin un reino?
Yes, sir. Come on, you're all too quiet.
No.
I'll make sure you're participating, okay?
Necesito que participen conmigo.
All right. This is opening night, so I want to make sure that you understand these things and that you're participating. Can you be a king unless you have a kingdom?
No.
No. In other words, I might walk around all day long and say, hey, my name is King Richards.
¿Puedo yo caminar todo el día y decir soy el rey Richard?
But am I truly a king unless I have a kingdom?
¿Pero puedo ser un rey sin tener un reino?
The answer is no.
La respuesta es no.
And so when Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar, go ahead and translate, brother.
Y Daniel está hablando a Nabucodonosor.
And he's saying, you represent the head of gold.
Y Daniel dice, tú eres la cabeza de oro.
He is representing the king of the kingdom of Babylon. Are you with me, friends?
Representa la cabeza o el rey de Babilonia.
Matter of fact, maybe you're not convinced.
Quizás no estés convencido.
Let's go to a couple other places in Scripture where Babylon is represented by gold.
Vamos a otros lugares para que veamos dónde también Babilonia es representado por el oro.
Let's go to the book of Isaiah.
El libro de Isaías.
What book are we going to, friends?
¿Qué libro?
Isaiah chapter 14.
Isaías 14.
Isaiah 14.
Isaías 14.
And we're going to be reading verse 4.
Versículo 4. Enseñando que Babilonia es representado por la cabeza de oro.
The Bible says in Isaiah 14, beginning with verse 4.
14, versículo 4.
In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. The Bible says, go ahead, you want to translate that, brother? It says here that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of what?
Babylon.
Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The what? The golden city ceased. Go ahead and read that in Spanish, please. 14, verse 4.
Que 14, Isaías 14, versículo 4, dice la Escritura, que levantarás esta parábola sobre el rey de Babilonia y dirás, ¿cómo paró el exactor? ¿Cómo cesó la ciudad codiciosa del oro?
So Daniel says that Babylon is like gold.
Daniel dice que Babilonia es como oro.
Isaiah says that Babylon is like gold.
Isaías dice que Babilonia es como oro.
Notice Jeremiah chapter 51.
Vamos a Jeremías 51.
Jeremiah chapter 51.
Jeremías 51.
And verse 7.
En el versículo 7.
The Bible says this, friends.
La Biblia dice esto.
Jeremiah 51 verse 7, it says, Babylon hath been a what kind of cup? Are we all there, friends? Amen.
Vaso de oro fue Babilonia. ¿Qué? Oro.
I'll wait till I hear pages turning. Jeremiah 51, verse 7. Are we all there? Amen.
Jeremiah 51, okay. Versículo 7.
Babylon hath been a what kind of cup? A golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad.
¿Qué tipo de vaso es Babilonia? Oro.
And so Babylon is represented by gold. Let's go. Go ahead.
Babilonia representado como oro.
Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2.
Daniel 2.
And please forgive me if I start to get excited as I preach. I have to force myself to slow down so that my brother can keep up with me.
Que dice, discúlpeme si me emociono, pero tengo que manejar un poco el ritmo por la traducción que estoy haciendo.
Now let's continue on. Let's put up a timeline here.
Vamos a poner una línea de tiempo.
So on our timeline, the very first kingdom that we have,
en la línea de tiempo, el primer reino,
in 606 or 605 BC, we have the golden kingdom of Babylon.
Tenemos al rey de Babilonia, o al reino de Babilonia.
Let's move on.
Vamos adelante.
The next kingdom, the Bible says,
was
represented by the chest and arms of silver in verse 39. Let's go there. Daniel 2:39.
En Daniel 2:39, veamos el segundo reino.
Daniel 2:39 says, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." Let's notice what the Word of God says. Very clearly tells us which kingdom overthrew the kingdom of Babylon.
Vamos a la Biblia para ver qué otro reino dominó y destruyó a Babilonia.
Let's go to Daniel chapter 5.
Daniel 5.
Daniel chapter 5 gives us the history of the overthrow of the kingdom of Babylon.
El capítulo 5 nos da la historia de la destrucción de Babilonia.
This is the famous story of the writing on the wall.
Esta es la historia famosa de la escritura sobre la pared.
Belshazzar was having a drunken festival in his kingdom.
Belshazzar estaba teniendo una orgía de vino en su reino.
And then the part of a man's hand came and wrote against the plaster of the wall, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin.
Y la mano escribió en la pared del palacio, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin.
And now Daniel comes and interprets this. Let's look at Daniel 5 in verse 26.
5:26.
This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God had numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the what? Medes and Persians.
El reino se le dio a los medos y a los persas.
And the Bible says right there, continue on in verse 30 and 31.
Versículo 30 y 31.
In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans or Babylonians, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. And so here we have the chest and arms of silver are the combined kingdoms of the Medo-Persians. Medo-Persia conquered the kingdom of Babylon.
Medo-Persia conquistó a Babilonia, representado por el pecho y los brazos de plata.
So let's continue on in the timeline to the next event, 539 or 538 BC.
Año 539 y 538.
The second kingdom, we have Medo-Persia.
Segundo reino, Medo-Persia.
And then the third kingdom of brass.
Y el tercer reino de bronce.
Turn to Daniel chapter 8. It tells us right there what kingdom it was.
Daniel 8. Ahí nos dice qué reino fue el que lo sucedió.
Daniel chapter 8. We have a battle between a ram and a goat.
Tenemos la historia del macho cabrillo y de la
In the Bible, beasts represent kingdoms, and this kingdom of the goat conquers the kingdom of the ram.
En la Biblia, las bestias significan reinos, y el carnero derrotó, o el cabrillo derrotó al macho cabrillo.
But don't take my word for it. Let's ask the angel Gabriel.
Pero vamos a preguntarle al ángel Gabriel para que nos diga la interpretación.
Because Gabriel was the one who told Daniel what this vision meant.
Porque Gabriel le dijo a Daniel la interpretación.
Look at verse 16, Daniel 8:16.
Daniel 8:16.
And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now drop down to verse 20.
Al versículo 20.
The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of what? Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of which country? Grecia or Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, that was Alexander the Great. The belly and thighs of brass represent the kingdom of Greece.
El vientre y las piernas representan el reino de Grecia.
On our timeline, the Battle of Arbela in 331 BC.
En la línea de tiempo 331, la batalla de Arbela.
The kingdom of Greece became established as the world empire.
El reino de Grecia se estableció en todo el mundo.
And now we come down to the legs of iron.
Ahora llegamos a las piernas de hierro.
Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2.
Daniel 2.
Daniel chapter 2 in verse 40.
Capítulo, versículo 14.
The Bible tells us what this kingdom would do. Daniel chapter 2 in verse 40, the Bible says.
2:14.
And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and do what? Bruise. Are we all there together, friends?
2:40.
All right. So what would this kingdom do?
Break in pieces
and do what else? Bruise. So this kingdom would be known for breaking and bruising.
Dice que este reino se iba a conocer por romper y destruir.
Why? Who would this kingdom break and bruise?
¿A quién iba a destruir y a romper ese reino?
Notice Daniel chapter 11.
Daniel 11.
Notice what the Bible says that this kingdom, or who this kingdom would break and bruise.
Vamos a ver a quién iba a hacer eso, este reino.
Daniel chapter 11, the Bible says this.
11.
In verse 14. Daniel 11 and verse 22.
En versículo 22.
Matter of fact, let's pick it up at verse 20. Verse 20.
En el 20. Vamos a empezar en el 20.
The Bible teaches, look at verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdoms by flatteries. Verse 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken. Yea, also the who? The prince of the covenant.
El príncipe del pacto también iba a ser quebrantado.
Now wait a minute. Who is the prince of the covenant?
¿Quién es el príncipe del pacto?
Who is the prince of princes?
¿Quién es el príncipe de príncipes?
It's Jesus Christ. So the Bible teaches that there will be a kingdom that would have a raiser of taxes.
La Biblia dice que va a haber un exactor de taxes.
And once this raiser of taxes died, there will be another emperor in this kingdom that would have Christ broken or crucified.
Y después de este colector de taxes o exactor, iba a venir otro rey que iba a destruir a Cristo.
Wait a minute. Didn't the Bible say that they would break in pieces and do what? Who is to be bruised?
Jesus.
Go to Genesis chapter 3.
¿Quién iba a ser herido? Vamos a Genesis 3.
Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3.
Genesis 3.
Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15.
Versículo 15.
The curse on the serpent and the promise of the woman's seed.
La maldición en la serpiente y la bendición en la simiente de la mujer.
The Bible says, and I, are we all there, friends? Amen.
¿Estamos ahí?
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that is the woman's seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his what? Who's that talking about right there that would be bruised? Who would be the one to bruise Satan's head?
Jesus.
It would be Christ. Go ahead, brother, translate that.
¿Quién iba a herir a la cabeza de la serpiente, aplastarla? Cristo.
Matter of fact, let's notice what the Bible says. Who is that seed of the woman?
¿Quién es la simiente de la mujer?
Go to the book of Galatians.
Libro de Gálatas.
In the New Testament.
En el Nuevo Testamento.
Galatians chapter 3. Who is that seed?
Galatas número 3.
Because the seed would crush Satan's head.
Porque la simiente iba a aplastar la cabeza de la serpiente.
Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. And when you're there, please just let me know by saying amen.
Galatas 3:16.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So who's the seed?
¿Quién es la simiente?
Who's the seed?
Christ.
Cristo. So the seed, or Christ,
Cristo, la simiente,
would bruise Satan's head,
aplastaría la cabeza de Satanás,
but Satan would bruise his heel.
Y Satanás iba a herir el calcañar.
Christ would be broken and bruised.
Cristo iba a ser herido y quebrantado.
And Satan used the pagan kingdom of Rome to do it.
Y Satanás utilizó al reino de Roma para hacerlo.
The iron monarchy of Rome, it was Roman soldiers that crucified Christ, was it not?
No fueron los soldados romanos, los que crucificaron a Cristo.
Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, was the one who handed him over to the Jews.
Poncio Pilato, el gobernador romano.
And matter of fact, just like the iron legs, it was iron nails that were driven through the hands and feet of our Lord.
De hecho, los clavos eran de hierro los que traspasaron.
And yet while Christ's humanity was being bruised, Satan's head was being crushed.
Y al momento que la humanidad de Cristo era quebrantada, Satanás también estaba siendo destruido.
But this isn't the end of the prophecy.
Pero no es el final de la profecía.
Because the Bible teaches that there's then another kingdom that it will arise.
Porque la profecía dice que iba a haber otros reinos que iban a salir.
After pagan Rome came and then collapsed, there's a
Roma
relief.
Colapsó.
This is actually a relief from the Arch of Titus, commemorating the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Esto es una
a relief for the Arch of Titus.
Un mural que enseña a Tito en la destrucción de Jerusalén en el año 70.
Matter of fact, you can actually see that there, the Romans are carrying away the seven-branched golden candlestick out of the sanctuary when they destroyed it.
Y enseña cómo los romanos sacaron la menorá del templo de Israel.
This event was a direct fulfillment of the words of Christ, where he prophesied that not one stone would be left upon another that would not be cast down.
Y era el cumplimiento de la profecía de Cristo que ni una piedra iba a quedar en el santuario sobre otra.
Matter of fact, you can go today to Jerusalem, to where the Temple Mount is.
De hecho, pueden ir en ese tiempo a Israel, a donde estaba el templo.
Or you can get videos as well.
O ver los videos.
And right there, the only wall that's left of the ancient Temple Mount is called the Western Wall. They now call it the Wailing Wall.
Lo único que queda es el Muro de los Lamentos.
And next to the wall is a huge pile of stones.
Y a un lado del muro hay una montón de roca.
You can go on the internet and actually pull up pictures of these huge stones piled up next to this wall.
Pueden ir al internet y ver esas rocas gigantescas.
These were the stones that made up the ancient temple that not one was left upon another, literally fulfilled the words of Christ.
Donde literalmente vemos las palabras de Cristo cumplirse al pie de la letra.
So here we have in our timeline now the fourth kingdom.
El cuarto reino.
168 BC, Pompey's conquests.
En el año 168, la ciudad de Pompeya fue conquistada.
Pagan Rome is firmly established.
Roma se establece como reino.
And it lasts down to the year roughly 476, when then it collapsed.
Y alrededor del año 476 es cuando colapsa y cae el Imperio Romano.
And then the Bible teaches that there will be now the feet, and then the toes, the feet of iron, a mixture of iron and clay.
La Biblia nos enseña que iba a haber la otra parte de los pies de hierro con barro mezclado.
Are you all still with me?
¿Todavía están conmigo?
Yes.
Okay. We're almost done.
Casi terminamos, okay?
We're almost done with this prophecy.
Con esta profecía, con esta parte.
And now we come to the most important part.
Venimos a la parte más importante.
Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2.
Daniel 2.
And let's now look at these feet and toes of iron and clay.
Vamos a los pies de hierro y de barro.
Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to now look at verse 41.
Versículo 41.
The Bible says in Daniel 2:41, are we all there together, friends? Amen?
Amen.
Estamos ahí.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of what kind of clay?
Fire.
Now I want you to make sure you pay attention, okay? Now, how many of you believe the Bible is inspired?
¿Cuántos creen que la Biblia es
Amen.
Inspirada?
You all believe that, otherwise you wouldn't be here, right?
Yo creo que todos lo creen, si no, no estarían aquí.
Every word should have its proper bearing and influence.
Cada palabra tiene que tener su propio significado en la Biblia.
Now, the Word of God says it's that thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with what kind of clay?
¿Qué tipo de barro?
All right, now I want to ask you a question.
Una pregunta.
Is there a difference between potter's clay and miry clay?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
¿Hay una diferencia entre barro cocido y barro en polvo?
Some of you are just so very quiet, stoic.
Algunos se quedaron callados.
Is there a difference between potter's clay and miry clay? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, there is. How many of you have ever done a pottery class before?
¿Cuántos han tenido una clase donde hacen alfarería?
Only a few hands.
Solamente algunos.
When I was in school, I'm not sure if it was required or what, but they basically forced us to make pots. They made us do it.
Cuando estaba en la escuela, yo hice, me dieron una clase.
Has anyone ever done it before, or at least seen it maybe like on a Discovery Channel or something like that?
¿Alguno lo han visto, aunque sea?
And there's a potter's wheel, correct?
La rueda donde,
and in ancient times, he would be able to step on it, and it would just go round and round and round. The more they stepped on it, the more that it would go round and round and round in circles.